Hey y'all, you're listening to another episode of Big Facts No Cap with Paul and Adrian, the only podcast that's number one with those who enjoy things ironically and fans of the filmmaker Spike Lee. Let's get into this episode.
Big Facts
No
Cap.
Big
Facts
No
Cap.
No Cap.
Big
Facts
No
Cap.
Big
Facts
No
Cap.
No Cap.
Big
Facts
No
Cap. Cap.
No cap.
Big
facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
All right, what's going on?
Well, first things first, I apologize that you guys have to listen to that great Phil episode again. One of our best. I'm sure you enjoyed it. And if this is your first time listening to that episode last week, you're welcome. Glad we put you on game. Leave a 5-star review.
5-star? Oh, yeah, we do need people to disrupt that one-star review we got. Apparently, if you go on Blue Sky and you call the National Guard in D.C. brown shirts, people get upset at you and then they go find your podcast and leave bad reviews.
They go find your podcast?
Well, maybe you have your podcast in your in your bio on Blue Sky because you're like, I'm not going to fight with anybody on Blue Sky. It's a bunch of like little libs here. But
interesting how you found a way. Life finds a way.
Dude, they were being so annoying. They were like, most of the people at the National Guard, you can't be angry at them because they signed up before and they have to go or else they go to jail if they don't go on the deployment that Trump ordered them on into DC. I responded, I think, concisely, boohoo for the brown shirts. And people did not care for that.
Speaking truth to power, as you always do.
Dude, I got yelled at by so many people. It was like a 20-comment thread, and I was fighting with everyone. I was trying not to back down, but man, yeah, people were
can get it.
People were so upset with me.
If we were still doing songs at the end of episodes, I would I put Rico Nasty's "Who Want It" at the end of this episode.
I know, and it's like barely even a story anymore. I guess like the actual like I don't know. It's like
they secured that Five Guys.
Yeah, they. The Five Guys at DC has been protected.
I repeat.
You know, I feel like it was so funny that I saw them outside of that Five Guys guarding it so often because I don't think Trump likes Five Guys. He's like famously like a Sonic McDonald. Like he likes like the on the street chains. You know what I'm saying?
Is he a Sonic guy? I didn't know he was a Sonic guy. He's getting dogged down like that.
You know, I can't remember if that was one of the ones he brought in for when Clemson won the Natty.
Oh, I thought it was just McDonald's.
It was McDonald's and definitely a couple others. It wasn't just McDonald's.
Maybe some Wendy's.
I think Wendy's was in there for sure. You know they had to get Frosties.
Oh, yeah.
They would have revolted. This would have been like Storming of the Bastille if they didn't get a Frosty that day, those Clemson boys.
Is there patented technology to the Frosty, or is it just an icy milkshake that they make?
I think just the milkshake.
Okay, so it's just branding on their version
of the
milkshake.
Is it even icier than a regular milkshake? I always just thought
it was right? It's not very thick.
You're right.
I mean, I dipped a couple fries in a Frosty in my day, but I never really thought of it as like, oh, that's a superior product to the other kind of ice creams you can get.
No, but you know what? I did like the McDonald's soft serve. I did have like a thing about, I think maybe it was like encouraged by my parents who thought it was like a good ice cream. So I was like, oh yeah, this is good soft serve at McDonald's. Superior product over here.
But not the McFlurry?
You know, I think they liked that too, but it wasn't, they were more cone people. Yeah, they liked the soft serve and the cone.
Okay. Big SNL fans, some cone heads.
Okay. That movie upset me as a child. I did not care for it.
Well, he thought it was scary?
I didn't think it was scary. I thought it was off-putting.
Yeah, okay. That's a fair enough analysis of that. I don't much care for this, you said as a child.
I do have to apologize for a mistake I made during the last episode. It was the one we released, so people have heard it. Cavatelli. That is not corkscrew pasta. That's like the one where it's like the thumb dips into it and sometimes there's ridges on the other side if they made it on a board with ridges. So it kind of looks like gnocchi.
That's arcate.
Did I get it wrong again?
Yeah. Where's cavatelli? Oh, cavatelli? I thought you were right about it being a...
It looks very similar.
Loose screw. Cavatappi is a corkscrew-shaped hollow pasta.
Cavatappi. I said cavatelli.
Oh, cavatelli. Oh, that's a whole different ballgame.
But I guess that's why I got them confused, because I was thinking cavatappi.
Oh, you're right. It is just basically a big orquete, yeah. Interesting. So who called you out on that?
Nobody. I was listening to it and I was like, was I right about that? It's not something I know for sure. Let me Google it.
I like that cutoff.
Oh, thank you. It's definitely not a Kanye shirt.
Well, it's a gym shirt, so I think that's okay. I gave away my Channel 5 shirt when that happened, but you know, I could have used it as a gym shirt.
Well, I made it into a cutoff to just wear at home after the Kanye. Yeah. Well, actually, long ago. You know, I don't know why I buy long sleeve tees. I never wear long sleeve tees. I don't think I look good in them. I never wear them. But sometimes I still buy them because a lot of people have merch that it's like, oh, well, they don't have the design I want on the short sleeve tee and I want to show support.
So you're paying extra for the long sleeves and then chopping them off.
Yeah, they do become gym shirts. That's true.
This is my problem with my sister and why I don't buy her shirts anymore.
Oh, she chops them?
She makes them all into crop tops. And it's like, okay, you're just wasting all that fabric I bought.
Izzy tried to convince me last year. She was like, oh, crop tops are getting popular for guys. I'm like, I'm not. No. She was like, I think you would look good. I was like, no. I don't think crop to where you can see the skin, but just above the belt, I guess. I don't know.
So that if you like lift up your arms, you can see the goods. Okay. So, whereas for the crop top, if you were out in a boot, people would be able to see your hairy little belly. Maybe you see your little happy trail.
Oh, yeah. I guess I can't wear cutoffs outside, you know? It's Americans would see my hairy shoulders and it would blow their minds. I used to shave it sometimes before I'd go to the beach, but you know, you hit 30 and you just give up on all that.
You let the colonial shame do that to you.
I know, isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
Also, isn't it crazy that I'm the only one in the family with this?
Is that true?
Yeah.
Maybe it's more pertinent there, where like in seventh grade genetic classes in Lebanon, they talk about your widow peak and then whether or not you have the dominant trait of not having shoulder hair or whatever.
I know. There is something like in my genetics that got all my hair messed up because I had, I balded early, got the hairy shoulders. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, what else has been going on? How's your week been?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Settling into a routine, getting some good work done. Do you have a media roundup? Or how's your week going? What happened to you?
My week's been normal, and no media roundup. What do you got?
There was a new paper that came out that I woke up to on Tuesday. That it's a new paper on honeybee waggle dance networks. So not only did they cite my last research paper, so it's my first citation for my last paper, but also they cited my conceptual framework from like 4 years ago. So those dudes are really fucking with me. They're obsessed with me. I love it. It is a special issue on women in bee science, so I'm glad to support. I'm happy to help. That's all I gotta say about that.
Because you had mostly like, what is it called? Like, your results were basically that, like, you didn't find the connection between disease and communication you were expecting. Did they have positive results where they did find a connection between the communication or?
Theirs wasn't disease. Theirs was on foraging. So, like, the way they do the waggle dance is meant to, like, tell others where food is. So, they were looking at, like, based on the connections that we see, here's the maximum number of individuals that could be reached. How many are actually reached? And it's actually a very small number. They did the much better and smarter thing where they framed their research as whatever outcome happens, it's interesting, which is what my advisor always told me to do. But I was like, nah, I've got strong ideas.
I think I know how bees act.
I think I know how this should go. Yeah. So that was fun to see this week.
Last night I played for the second time Catan New Energies. After playing it twice, I think the mechanics it adds are actually really fun, and it's like a pretty great addition to the Catan base game. It's actually just very fun to play.
What is this, the Welsh version where you can also fuck the sheep instead of trading them?
Yeah, you got it.
No, you said New Horizons? Was that a
New Energies? Did I say New Horizons?
No, New Energies. I just wasn't paying attention.
Yeah. So this is like Isabel's friends from that all work in like climate change world. So I've actually played a weird amount of board games themed around energy or climate change with them.
And so next time you guys are doing Greta Thunberg's new board game?
Yeah, what is that called?
You know, I was thinking of one, but I was going to say it if I thought of it when I said it. But then I was like, well, Bob's not going to immediately ask me to say what it is. you're on a boat. Go to a climate conference.
Yeah, it's a Lonely Island. You're on a boat / Greta Thunberg collab.
Yeah. Board game edition. You say Thunberg, I say Thunberg.
Potato, potato. Except potato, I'm sure potato. One of them is right and probably yours.
I think maybe I've mostly heard British people say it, which reminds me, did you check out any of the new Mitchell and Webb?
Yeah, I've seen a couple. You said that you liked it. I thought they were weak, the ones I'd seen, so I hadn't...
I mean, they're not... Maybe it's nostalgia, but yeah, I thought they were funny enough.
Which ones are you talking about?
The teacher who doesn't understand that you get new students every year.
Oh, okay, I didn't see that one.
That one's pretty funny.
I'm trying to remember the ones I saw. I saw, like, three
Olivia Colman with the steamy drama or whatever.
Oh, where the steam is actually coming out? You see, yeah, I didn't care for that one that much. I felt like it was a funny idea.
It didn't really translate.
Yeah, it evolved slowly and awkwardly.
Yeah, you can't really escalate that in, like, a really crazy way.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm excited they're back together doing a sketch show. Although, that is what, you know, we talk about this all the time. That's another show where I've watched it on YouTube because I, you know, never have access. So, I don't know if I've even seen every one of the original.
No, I definitely haven't.
I don't even know if I know all the original ones because in their early, early days, they did that show where it was like you voted on your favorite sketch and they would keep it going. That was before. That one was really fun. They had the one where it was a... BMX kid and the magician in that sketch always.
And the wizard?
The wizard.
That was funny.
Yeah, shout out Mitchell and Webb.
Cool. You want to get into the theme?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Could I be any more excited to talk about this theme?
Oh, because Chandler is like ironic and sarcastic. Yeah, we're doing irony.
Yeah, not sarcasm. That'll be a different episode, maybe.
Sarcasm, a lot of ironic people use sarcasm, I guess, right?
It's true. I think it's technically a derivation of irony in the more, like, literary sense.
Yeah, do we want to define irony? Because there's a bunch of different types, and I feel like, right, it's something
the main
people,
three,
people always
same
talk about.
Same at the same time. Dramatic. Verbal. Situational.
Yeah, dramatic, verbal, situational.
Yeah, we said it at the exact same time.
Together.
Wait, is that... The definition is something about a misalignment between expectations and outcomes?
Yeah, but like dramatic irony doesn't... I guess it kind of fits that. It's like when the audience knows something that the character doesn't, so you're like, oh no. Mm-hmm. Oh no, they're doing this thing, but they don't need to be doing that thing because something else we saw happened in a different scene. I don't know. Does that really... Like when I think of modern irony, I don't really think about... that type of irony we learned about in school, right? With the dramatic irony. To me, it's more like insincerity is how people use it mostly nowadays. Like irony is a version of like caring or not caring about something based on, I don't know, perceived social clout. is that like a running definition for how people use it nowadays? I don't know. How do you envision it?
I don't know about liking something ironically. So yeah, just... sincerity? Yeah, I think that might be the right word for it then, yeah.
It's a lot less about, like, the expectation.
You got big thoughts on that?
Yeah, like, in the modern version of irony, when people are talking about, like, sincerity, I do. I feel like it's hard to untangle. Do you have any ironic interests, or do you ever feel like people nowadays have too many ironic interests?
No, I think I hang around some pretty sincere people. I think we're all kind of older. And I don't know if I have anything that I like ironically.
I guess
I sometimes have talked about guilty pleasures, but that's about as far as that goes.
Is irony like a young man's game? It kind of feels to me like the deep fried memes. Like, that's an ironic thing. Like,
yeah, a little bit. I mean, I remember I had I don't know if this fully fits the bill, but I had a manager when I worked at Trader Joe's whose ringtone was Meghan Trainor's All About That Bass, No Treble. And he would talk a lot about liking Taylor Swift despite being a middle-aged white man as if it was the most interesting thing in the world.
Yeah, I think I've mentioned that before, the kind of like subverted expectations. I guess that kind of does bring it back to the original definition of like it's supposed to be something you wouldn't expect. So My Little Pony would be like a very irony-driven cultural thing because you could never untangle if the bronies really liked it that much or if they just thought it was interesting to like My Little Pony that much as adult men.
I mean, I don't know. I think if I met someone who was into it as an adult, I would have to assume they were actually into it. Like, who's doing that for clout? Like, I don't know.
I always think of things like Lil B. Like, were you a Lil B fan? How did you feel about when people would talk about him a lot? I would always have a hard time being like, okay, but like at what level are you enjoying Lil B? Because I feel a little confused if I have to
be
honest.
You don't ever hope that the bass god hears your prayers?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. It's funny, man. It was definitely funny the 500th time I heard it, but as funny as the first time. But and then people will swear up and down they like this stuff. So I guess you do just have to believe them.
Yeah, I guess that's like me with like 100 gecs, or like that was maybe the last thing that I remember kind of having that feeling about.
You see, but I genuinely enjoyed that in a sincere way, at least. It felt that way to me, so maybe that's how... Maybe I'm putting bad energy on these little B fans, and they really did like him that much, and I'm just being... I'm just being a bully here, just assuming somebody couldn't enjoy that.
I guess that's the question, right? Is like, unless it's your partner or a close friend, how often does it really matter whether or not they really like it or not?
That's true. None of this matters. I mean, does anything like in this sort of like...
I mean, my article is about a relationship, but like, yeah, you know, like in the general ethos of like, I don't understand if people genuinely like this thing. It's like, I don't know. It's a mystery you don't have to solve.
That's all social interactions, you know? It's like, you don't actually have to get to the bottom of something, but that's what like all media criticism and conversation in that realm is about, like getting to some shared understanding of the truth.
I mean, I guess that's my whole thing of when people ask me about what kind of socialist I am and I say I'm a Titoist.
Yeah, that's ironic. There you go.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's irony. Although it doesn't really feel like, once again, maybe I should have Googled the definition of irony before we started instead of just going off how I feel.
I looked it up when I was looking up the different types of irony when Phil was asking me about it, because I forgot about situational.
Yeah, I guess there's just too many types of irony. I think we are hitting different types and then discussing them as if it's all one thing.
I mean, it's all under the umbrella, right? They're just different types of the same thing. And so you don't have any examples off the top of your head of things you've liked ironically.
I don't know if there's anything I enjoy purely ironically. Usually it's just something I enjoy that's for a second reason. Like, there's objectively bad hip-hop I like because it's funny, and maybe that can be, like, a form of irony. Like, what's his name?
Lil Dicky.
Lil Dicky, my favorite. Maybe somebody like RXK Nephew. I'm not listening because the, like, music is so good, but, like, the bars are funny, so maybe in a way that's, like, irony.
Yeah, and then I guess, like, I've talked about this before, but most movie reviewers have like a negative 10 to 10 scale, where like a negative 10 is an ironic enjoyment of a film.
Oh.
And that's a pretty easy way to like square that circle of like, yeah, I like the movie, but like because it's bad, I know it's bad.
Interesting. You know,
in spite of being bad or whatever.
I haven't run into that before.
I guess YMS just gives them 10s and then clarifies that they're ironic, but other reviewers I know will have like a swing scale that goes both ways, like a U-shaped curve.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, okay, so things I enjoy ironically, I am a fan of The Room in that sense. Sure.
I'm not. I didn't really get as much out of it as people seem to in the cultural moment.
It definitely tickled me enough that, like, I've seen it multiple times and not... I didn't find it tedious.
I know Neil Breen's coming out with a new movie, but I haven't actually watched any of his stuff.
I haven't either. Yeah, that's pure irony enjoyment. It's something like Neil Breen, huh? Do you have anything closer to, like, the RXK thing where it's, like... Maybe it's not that you enjoy it ironically, but you're like, maybe some sort of screamo where you're like, I kind of get that this sounds bad, but like what I enjoy about it is joke or like a secondary element of it.
Nothing for like harsh vocals or anything like that, but the SpongeBob AI music, Phil and I fucking love that shit. Phil and I are both like, hey, this is kind of fun.
Yeah, that feels pretty irony filled.
It is kind of fun to listen to Squidward talk about money and killing people. That might be the closest thing I have, yeah. Shout out to Glorb.
Glorb's the artist.
Yeah. Now I know what the ending music's gonna be.
And you know Glorb doesn't do DMCA takedowns.
He does not. He doesn't believe in that. Or she.
Or they.
Show them their face. Or they. Or Z. Or Zer.
Or them.
You know, I still get reactions to, I don't know if this is irony, but if you've ever seen me meet a new person, which I did a lot last weekend because I was going to more things. I'm a big, when people reach out to give you a handshake, doing the little, like, dainty little, like, hand extended thing. And that seems to still tickle people to this day. And I don't think it's ironic because I actually don't like handshakes. So it's just something I do that I think makes me a little fancy lad that but I think is fun and tickles
people. It's a little ironic. Come on. Who would expect Adrian to have a little dainty handshake? You look like you'd have a nice, strong handshake.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, that's a burly ass man right there. He's about to break my bones.
You look like you do with a Trump and pull somebody in.
Exactly. That's how you win the arm wrestling match.
Remember when that was a lot of people's biggest issue with Trump? How bad his handshake was.
Yeah, now we know. Now we know the real stuff.
Do you remember when it was like a common personality trait for somebody to be like, oh, I'm just really sarcastic. If you hang out with me, you have to learn that I'm just really sarcastic all the time. And it's like, sounds like maybe you're just a little annoying.
Or they're just really funny and you're not up to it.
Anytime somebody has to give you a qualifier for what their personality is like, I have a hard time not reading that as a way of saying I annoy people, and I realize that.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't met someone like that since like 2010.
It is a little,
but it was
old
a thing
school.
For sure. Yeah. I think I've gotten to the point where I'm some people do have to ask me whether or not I'm being serious about things sometimes, and sometimes it's on them, sometimes I feel like it's on me. It's a little 50-50.
So much of our modern culture does seem like insincere jokes or like playing into characters of like pretending to be like right wing or stupid or whatever online for views. I have run into this before where do you ever see something online and you're like, is that a real person or are they acting extra stupid for attention? Like, is this an ironic character that this entire YouTube channel is based around, or is this a real like sunglasses wrapped around their head freak?
You mean like a thing where someone's acting dumber than they actually are, or?
Yeah, dumber or weirder or more aggressive. Like maybe the first time you saw, who's that guy? He's really annoying. Oliver Tree? Oliver Tree.
I know him tangentially. I don't think I've ever actually watched him do anything.
Yeah, I was like, okay, is that bowl cut? Like, this is just a man who likes a bowl cut? Or is that like he act, you know, it's like, I don't know at what level this person's playing their personality at a lot of the times online. I think I just dress in ways that I think look nice and have haircuts I think look nice, but it seems like a lot of people nowadays really go for like a double, triple fake out with their entire like being.
Yeah, I mean, I've been thinking about what haircut I'm going to do next, and I'm not going to lie, I thought about doing the shaved mullet just to see how it looks.
The mullet's a lot nicer than the bowl cut. The bowl cut, I don't think I've ever been like, I've seen somebody and been like, oh, that looks like anything other than a joke. The mullet's kind of come around.
I don't want to be, you know, the thing right now is calling people performative males. Watch out for next week when that's our theme, but I don't want to be called out for that.
What's a performative male?
It's usually a white guy who drinks matcha lattes, wears a beanie, has a tote bag, and keeps a book in his pocket to try and lure women, even though he's just a regular dude. Yeah, I think I watched a skit where a woman pointed out the opposite version of that is the not like the other girl, pick me girl, basically. So it's the man version of that.
Yeah, I guess. But also then it seems like so limiting because I don't know. I think some guys probably like carrying around their little Moleskine journal and their tote bag. And I don't know if
performative.
You think it's always performative? I think that seems like there is a sincere version of it. Maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care. I don't know. Yeah.
It seems like it's very right now. Setting up gender norms in a weird way.
Oh, yeah. They're trying to box us in.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I like grassy matcha. I'm not going to apologize for that. Oh, yeah, we do some ironic comedy on this show. We do some ironic, transgressive comedy.
Yeah, we do pretend to have opinions. We don't for,
Oh, I was just meaning, like, accents and stuff like that and, like, all the other...
Oh, is that ironic? That's just funny.
Oh, okay, yeah, I guess so, yeah.
I mean, how often are we doing offensive accents?
I don't know.
Oh, is that the new one? The babies are coming out to cancel people now?
It's just me, the baby.
The French bébé.
Oh, wait, yeah. Am I allowed to do that? Now that Nick Kroll doesn't do accents anymore, can I do the Spanish baby?
Soy un bébé.
Yeah, you're Spanish. You're allowed to.
Okay, yes. Yeah, so I know that Hivemind does a lot of like meta joking about them getting canceled for their jokes and like them like trying to make things clear that things are jokes now, which always feels a little bit like a put on.
Yeah, and it is one of those things where it's like, maybe you just got to own it. Like, if somebody's upset at you for it, they're going to be upset whether or not you put a little qualifier telling them that they're not allowed to be upset about this one.
Respect my qualifiers.
Do you think irony has ruined or poisoned sincere enjoyment?
Irony poisoning.
Sincere enjoyment of something. Like, I guess for me, like I was saying, when you can't tell if somebody's being ironic or if their personality or look is a put on.
I think this is another one where we got to age ourselves. I don't think it's affecting my daily life. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. Not too much. How about the origins of complaining about irony? People complaining about hipster culture, like, oh, do these people really love handlebar mustaches and flannels and suspenders, or is this like a put-on personality? Which nowadays it seems like almost downright like sincere to be that type of guy compared to like a epic meme lord mean sort of irony person.
Yeah, that's the thing. They weren't hurting anybody.
Yeah,
I guess they're probably gentrifying places. But on an individual level, they weren't hurting anybody.
Nowadays, it's like we have like these pepes and stuff where it's like, do you find these memes funny where you're just being a weird, cruel person?
Are you
person?
Just a Nazi or what's going on?
Yeah, what's going on? Are you really a Nazi or are you just pretending to be a Nazi?
Ooh, is this the next ContraPoints video? Is irony a big part of the alt-right pipeline?
I think we know what the next ContraPoints video is going to be about, Adrian. How mean everybody is to her and how they should stop being so mean to her specifically. That's almost certainly been tackled, right? Because, like, she already tackled postmodernism, and isn't irony kind of all wrapped up in that? Like, the death of sincerity. Everything is a meta-commentary on itself.
Damn. I don't know, Professor. You're speaking big words right now.
I guess irony is seeped into, like, advertisements and stuff. Like, there's the ironic ads where it's, like, a voice will come over and be like, we could give you an ad for this product, but instead we're gonna show you a bunch of cool pictures of leopards or, you know, like one of those sorts of ads where they're like...
Yeah, or the ones that are aware of how much time they have on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Like these kind of meta commentaries.
Yeah.
On the fact that you're watching an ad. I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. All of this stuff just really doesn't affect you unless you let it affect you.
I'm going Matt Crisman on this one. None of this matters. Although, and I don't want to call anybody out for this or anything like that, but how do you feel about, like, young liberal lefties who, like, wear, like, a communist thing, ironically, or whatever, like, have, like, an aesthetic like that?
Oh, like, what sort of communist thing?
I think I knew a guy who came out one time wearing a Soviet hockey jersey, so it had, like, the hammer and sickle on it, and I was like, I don't think this guy reads anything about the Soviet Union. In fact, I know he doesn't.
You know, yeah, that's closer to, like, the hipsterdom thing, where it's, like, I think there is a sincere element to it. It is ironic. I don't, it's like confrontational in its energy. It's like trying to invite other people to be like, look at how interesting this guy is.
I mean, I was jealous. Don't get me wrong. I was like, that's a cool thrifted piece, but.
Yeah, I think for outside of the reason of claiming they're irony bros, I find it annoying mostly because it's just like a distraction.
Hmm. Wow. You're calling them deeply unserious?
They kind of are, right?
Okay, damn.
I mean, then again, also, I don't want to be one of those guys who's like, ugh, chase shirts are the cringiest thing in the world. It's like, it's fine to have a chase shirt.
I wore
like,
a chase shirt for a while, yeah.
Yeah. I guess Che to me is a little different than the Soviet Union, but I mean, there's also just my aesthetic preference of thinking that like Lenin and that stuff kind of just looks lame. Like, I don't think it looks nice.
Damn, you're not a big fan of Lady Izdahar?
What's that?
She's a TikTok and YouTuber who wears vintage fashion from the Soviet Union and talks about communism.
Why would I know who that is?
I don't know. She's in the circles. She has a good online presence. She has a lot of like Lenin pins and like she has like a Lenin bust on her desk and she has all the like the all right, do you want to get into a column?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, that seems like a good place to move into a column. Do you want to go first or second?
I don't mind either.
Yeah, I'll go first. We haven't brought her in for a while, but I think Paul knows her from Twitter. Sophia Benoit, here's the thing. Here's the thing on dating irony boys. So, as always, she starts it with big, bold caps, a sweetie angel. Subject line, I think I'm dating an irony boy. Help. Hi. So I've been dating my boyfriend for 8 months. We met through work friends and hit it off almost immediately. I love him a lot. We have great sex. He gets along with my friends. On the surface, everything looks great. But I'm starting to get the feeling he might lack the ability to be sincere about, really, anything. We share a certain internet-bred sense of humor with a thick dose of irony mixed in, and we're very jokey when we talk. He makes me laugh, and I love that. Lately, though, I've started to realize that he also uses humor to dodge hard questions, or that he won't give up a bit even when it's not funny anymore. When issues arise that should cause fights, I try to talk about them. He makes a joke to deflect, and we go about our days without resolving anything. I sort of wish we actually fought because this is driving me nuts. We're both 24, so maybe it's just immaturity, but I don't know what to do about it. We care about each other too much for me to just dump him, and I want to believe it's an early relationship thing that he'll grow past it, and he'll grow past it. And honestly, most of the time when he jokes around, I love it and join in myself. But when it does bother me, I don't know how to break through the bullshit and actually talk to him. How do I get my dumb funny BF to grow up? And then there's a gif of a little Kermit puppet saying, help, Into a telephone.
This has never been me. I've never used humor to deflect from a conversation I don't want to have.
Okay, well, this is going to sound mean because I totally forgot. I didn't read this question ahead of time. I just looked at the title. I totally forgot about this whole thing that kind of annoys me about guys being like, use humor to deflect from talking about real things or whatever. And I'm like, I mean, I'm like the most like jovial, make a joke out of any situation person, but I can talk about real shit. I don't know.
I think I can, but if I don't want to, humor is a good way to get out of a conversation.
Just as we started the episode, you're real Chandler Bing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was where a lot of guys learned it, was that Friends, him being like, I use humor to deflect from my feelings. Jerry!
What's going on with that?
I don't know. I forgot what Chandler sounds like. Could I be anymore? Unavailable emotionally?
I see what you mean by saying it's annoying. I feel like there's a lot of those relationship cliches that just hearing somebody say it, it feels like, are you dating a character? Like, is that a real thing? It's like up there with like, I'm turning into my mom or I'm turning into my dad. Or
the playing a character thing is something you've brought in about dating apps before. People having too much irony in their dating app profile.
When I get too close to somebody, I push them away. And that's a very umbrella term for probably a billion different ways people are actually acting. Like
self-sabotage.
Oh yeah, I self-sabotage. It feels like somebody watched an episode of BoJack Horseman and said, that's me.
Or Scrubs. That's famously Scrubs. Where I got it from.
But no, I do see that. I think I use humor as a deflection sometimes.
Yeah, let's break that down. Let's get into that. When did you first start doing that? When do you remember first like not wanting to confront some kind of uncomfortableness?
Oh man, are we going to become one of those podcasts where delve into our feelings?
My impression of a therapist who asked really leading questions. Was it when you came out as gay?
I'm not gay. It would be a lot more interesting if you were gay.
I'm not lying. I'll show you my notebook. I had gay question mark written down. I thought I'm not going to lie. I stole that joke from Tom Segura. He is the bully doctor joke. Did you have advice or did you want to talk more about chopping it up about this
Do I have advice?
Whew. It seems fixable. I'll say that.
Yeah. And it seems like maybe you need to make it extremely obvious when a serious conversation is happening. I know for me, it's like if a conversation feels like it's sprung on me, I just want to get out of it because I'm like, it's a trap. I'm that
so
Star
wait,
Wars
you
meme.
Want someone to say like sit down or you don't want someone to
no,
say?
No, I think you have to say the like, oh, I want to talk about this important thing to me.
When, and then you say you got to run and then you get out of there, right?
When's a good time to talk about that? And then it's like, it would be weird for them to come in with jokes. But if you're just like, out and about.
I know people who hate that though.
Oh, really? I
know
like
people
that.
Who hate the, hey, can we talk about this tomorrow? I'm not going to say anything more about it. And you're like, okay, cool. You ruined my next 24 hours, but sure.
You don't have to make it sound so scary. You can make it serious. Like, oh, we need to talk about, like, maybe, okay, say like,
because that happened to me once, and it ended up just being my roommate saying they were going to move back home with their parents. But that entire day, I was like, oh shit, what the fuck happened?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, if you want to have a serious conversation about that, be like, oh, we should talk about where we're like, we should talk about like the lease tomorrow or something. Like, you know, you can give them the genre of the conversation. And then it's like, you know, or even it doesn't have to be the next day, but it's like, oh, when we get home or when blank, can we talk about this thing?
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie?
But just being like, oh, you're just sitting down and watching a TV show and then it's like, blam.
Oh, and you pop it on him?
And you pop it on them. Like, I feel like that's when I get a little bit like, I don't want to talk about that. Yeah, how do you feel? How would you, if you had this in a partner or in a relationship?
It's interesting because the solution of having a serious conversation is the exact issue. So I wonder if you just have to do one of those classic TV breakdowns or whatever. Get them into therapy, obviously. Pay for that out of pocket. Good way to do that. And I'm sure there's plenty of other people who have dealt with this situation. Ask around with your friends.
I think a serious conversation can have jokes in it as long as the serious object of the conversation is actually being handled. I don't think there's anything wrong with bringing levity, unless like your dad just died or something and you're like, I want to talk about my feelings. Then he's being an asshole. But if it's like, hey, you know, like say you're having a move-in conversation with a person, like should we move in together, and you're like, hey, I want to talk about like when your lease runs out and I'm moving somewhere, like do you want to think about maybe moving in together? If he does a joke but then still acknowledges the question, it's like that can be a conversation that has humor in it along with actually getting to the serious part of the conversation.
So you want that conversation to start with like, all right, as long as we got two bedrooms, because I ain't staying that with you. Come on now, girl, you stinky.
You stinky. Exactly.
And then being like, yeah, my lease does end and I haven't popped in a room, so.
I do want to move in with you, but like, I'm just not sure about how the finances are going to work out. Are we going to split it evenly? You do make more money than me.
Also the bathroom thing again, because you stinky.
Also the you being stinky thing. I don't really want to forget that.
This reminds me of a... What was I watching? I think I was watching Hot One Versus, where someone was talking about how one of their biggest icks was men crying in front of her. And she was like, go talk to your mom if you're going to cry. And I just think about like how often this kind of shit ends up having to devolve into like, well, why do you use humor to deflect? And it's like, oh, we got to go all the way back to like your childhood and shit. God damn it. You should be talking to a therapist instead of me.
Yeah. Is she qualified to handle this? She can let him know it annoys her. But is she going to be the one who... figures out why this is his communication style?
Yeah.
When somebody brings up a serious conversation you don't want to have, you've never had something sprung on you? A friend who was like, Adrian, I feel a certain way, and you're like, man, I'm just trying to have a beer. What about if it's not about you? Because I've... Oh, go ahead. I'll let you...
I don't know. What were you going
to
say?
I was going to say, sometimes I have the problem where somebody wants to have a serious conversation, and I'm trying to just have the beer and hang out. And it's not even about me. It's just like, oh, I'm having like, you know, I'm having girlfriend trouble or this big, you know, this thing. And it's like, to be a good friend, I have to have this conversation. But you bring this stuff up a lot, man. Like, can we ever just joke around?
Well, that's the opposite situation.
It's a situation where the levity is because you don't want to have the serious conversation. Yeah, I guess it's the same situation, but it's a little bit more like targeted, a little bit less like you just feel like they don't have an important point, or like, man, you're always talking about girl trouble. Like, can we just talk about something else right now?
Yeah, I think the few times that it's happened to me, I didn't use humor. I just like actually shut down the conversation.
Mm. That's probably a better tactic than just starting to riff.
Yeah.
And hoping they get the hint that you don't want to talk about it.
Different communication styles.
I think I just start to riff. I just start talking about what I want to talk about. Oh, yeah, there you go. Another major form of modern irony. The women be shopping.
Yeah. That's kind of what I was saying about the transgressive humor, yeah.
Although that one is so cliched, it's really played out at this point. A women be shopping joke. Kind of exhausting.
In 2025? Housed exclusively in this podcast? Can I see it?
Adrian, I'm trying to have a real conversation about irony here with you, and you keep bringing up Simpsons quotes.
Sorry. It's
Can you engage with me in a real way?
You know that when I was growing up, I was abused and The Simpsons was my only refuge.
Is that what you're worried is going to come up if you ask this guy to have a real conversation without humor? He's going to be like, I can't. Every time I tried to have a real conversation, my dad he dressed up like a clown and danced all around me.
He said, laugh for me, funny man. I have no idea what's going to come out.
What dramatic backstory is there to I use humor to deflect?
I'm not going to think of a series when I could. I don't want to. That seems bleak. Yeah, I don't know. Do you have any other actionable advice for this person?
When my parents got divorced, the only way I could get my mom's attention was by making her laugh. Mm-hmm. Now the only way I know to show love is by making people laugh. Psych! My parents never got divorced. They had a happy marriage.
I'm just a dick.
I've just been a dick this whole time. I'm just
emotionally immature. That'd be a good Aziz Ansari character.
Guy who makes up really sad backstories and then immediately takes like, them back.
I just suck.
Now we're getting into John Marco from Parks and Rec.
Turns out I'm just the worst. Okay, any other points before you want to read the answer?
Yeah, what's the funny advice for this? Out comedy him. Make it...
Oh, wait. I don't know. Is that a thing? If they're like this kind of person, are they ever going... Start flirting with another guy really heavy so that he has something to talk to you about. And then when he starts talking to you about it, being like, yeah, I like him because he got a big old dick. Come on, now let's laugh about it.
That actually... a taste of his own medicine. That's not bad.
Yeah. That's classic sitcom advice right there. And you know that's what we love here on Big Facts No Cap.
That's not bad.
On the BFNC. Or start acting really distant or like you have a secret, yeah.
If he agrees that it's something he wants to get... rid of, like if he's like, you know what, you're right, I shouldn't be doing this, but he keeps dropping jokes after that, I think like a shock collar type thing.
I think you should talk to him about proposing and then change him, and then at the very end you propose to him and it's like a peanut brittle thing where you open up the little case with the ring and a bunch of fake snakes come flying out.
Cool. Do you want to read the answer?
Yeah. From Sophia. Okay, you don't want to dump him. Got it. No one ever wants to dump him when they write in. Kind of unfair, my job would be so easy. They want an answer that's like, oh yeah, this is totally overcomable and no big deal. Here's the magic words that will make your partner not be disrespectful to you. I know you don't think that's what you're looking for, but I think your secret little heart wants me to say, just address the issue this way and the dipshit will fix himself because he cares about you. And I can't, in good faith, do that because I think it's very unlikely that your boyfriend will change anytime soon. Yes, 24 is an immature-ish age, but it's not 17. This man has had time, and he picked his personality. Do I doubt that you two have fun? No. Or good sex? No.
That would be crazy if she just came in there being like, you're a liar.
You're a liar. He's definitely joking during sex, too. No, but I do doubt that this relationship can last until our man here does a massive overhaul of his personality. He will likely not change for a very, very long time, or without a lot of you dragging and begging him to do so. And is that really changing, or is it behaving? Two things which are more likely to make him resent you than actually be effective. Most of us don't actually want to be fixed when we start dating someone else. The whole "they make me a better person" spiel is a bit misleading. We want someone who just makes us feel like what we're already bringing to the table is the best dish, and your man is bringing a year-old box of Twinkies to Thanksgiving dinner and asking you to treat him like he brought homemade sweet potato pie. Now, you can make him go back in the kitchen and whip up a new dish, teach him how to cook, teach him about presentation, about bringing enough food for everyone, or whatever. Or you can go fuck the man who deep-fried the turkey, if he's single. It's an extended metaphor. You get it. Irony is so dicey because not only is there the joke, there is the irony, and there is often another layer or two of deeper irony drizzled over the top, making the joke really the joking.
That's true. Oftentimes the joke is, isn't it crazy that I'm making a joke during this serious moment?
The real crux of irony seems to be, I try to avoid irony bros, so forgive me, I'm a little off. Haha, what if I sucked? Which is not a great thought experiment when you're dating a guy because, a lot of dudes suck. And to top it off, without an off switch for his irony, your boyfriend has actually stumbled most accidentally out of irony and into reality because now he does suck. This loops around to being ironic, I believe. He sucks because, guess what, pal? We already know what the world would be like if someone said those crazy things. They say them all the time. We know. It's not ironic racism or ironic sexism or ironic not talking about your feelings because, haha, who would take a relationship with this goddess woman who was willing to date me seriously? Pathetic. It is racism. It is sexism. It is a relationship which I personally, with limited information, believe to be substandard. He doesn't ironically not want to talk to you. He really doesn't want to talk to you. That should be, and I imagine is, devastating. He also doesn't know how to drop things that aren't funny. Really? He's 20 damn four. Sincerity is powerful and beautiful and mature. Irony and cynicism are brush-offs, and brush-offs are anemic imitations of interaction. They're for those people who do not yet know how to love fully or well, who do not know that the world doesn't need more irony. As cheesy and corny as it is, the world needs people who are brave enough to create and be creative, to love and be loved. Not some dude who's pretending, ha 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 ha, what if I really said that you can believe?
Wait, do you want to reread that? Put a comma between that and can to make it make sense.
Ha 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 ha, what if I really said that? Can you believe? Oh, that makes so much more sense. I have a strong feeling that you're outmaturing him, and that what you will tolerate now will make you cringe in a decade, if not much, much, much sooner. If you stay, you will likely be waiting until it becomes unbearable for him to not actually care or express himself like an adult. Good sex and good laughs are two wonderful ingredients for a relationship, and we're allowed to be in imperfect relationships. You're allowed to stay, you're allowed to be with someone who grates on you a lot, but I really think there is a person out there, although I know it can be hard to find a fellow 24 years old, who is sincerely interested in being around you. In the meantime, since you don't want to dump him, sit, dipshit. I don't know his real name, down, and say to him, guess what? Your whole jokey vibe would be very cool if this were a Seth Rogen movie circa 2008 and not in real life. Good script. Even then, Seth Rogen movies usually have sincerity and emotional beats, but whatever. Quote unquote, if you want to keep dating me, I need you to take my concerns more seriously.
Taking life with me seriously is not a punishment, it is a prerequisite of being someone I have a relationship with. In fact, I'd hope that you'd find it rewarding. It's not dark, or bleak, or shitty to be vulnerable and honest with me, or to work on our relationship. If he doesn't get that, he sucks. If he tries to twist what you're saying into, you never want me to joke around ever, he is being intentionally obtuse, and he sucks. So, dipshit, you and I are going to work on this, and I'm going to ask you to go to therapy, ding ding ding, so you can start addressing what exactly it is that makes you so scared to be honest and open with me. And you're going to have to do some work, because right now, that's what it will take to keep dating me. Because guess what, you two sweetie 24-year-olds, life is going to be fucking hard, and yes, you want someone who can make you laugh, but you also need someone who can tackle problems with you as a partner, and not a clown-ass 24/7 irony bro.
Yeah, I think that was one of those limited information questions where I read it as a lot less of a stranglehold. I read it as a communication problem, and she read it as like a holistic personality trait that cannot be changed.
Yeah, she read it as like a bringing the whole relationship down.
Yeah, I was like, oh, maybe it's just like you need to time the conversation better, or like let him know that it's going to be a serious conversation. But I mean,
you thought the advice was going to be like do it after lunch, not before lunch. That way, you know he's focused.
I think it's just a different read on how obtuse and difficult he is.
I mean, I think this is from the perspective of someone who's probably dated more people like this than we have.
Yeah, I guess fair enough. This is the right advice for that situation.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely had a partner who I basically coached on being able to like talk to me about serious things by just saying, hey, can we talk about something?
Yeah, there you go. That would have been very relevant for the advice.
Yeah, I just thought of it now. I thought about it with the gender dynamic, because I guess oftentimes it's not usually men teaching women, but
sometimes there's just ways to key somebody into that. I don't know. It's not always so obvious when a conversation is like flippant, like, oh, we're just dreaming about the future, versus when a conversation's like, no, I need to know. This is important information to me.
All right. You ready to switch gears into your column?
Yeah, let's do it.
Overall, I thought it was good, and even though I had struggled reading a few parts of it, it was well written.
Yeah, it was. Well, it was written a lot more conversationally than a lot of the advice we get, which is written like, you know, a straight up article.
All right, you ready to switch gears into your column?
Yeah, let's do it.
Overall, I thought it was good, and even though I had struggled reading a few parts of it, it was well written.
Well, it was written a lot more conversationally than a lot of the advice we get, which is written like, you know, a straight up article. Okay, I brought in Ask a Hipster, which, have you ever brought him in? Because I haven't.
I don't think so.
And I was surprised by how long-lasting. Like, this is still going on. He's been doing this for years. DJ Stevens for the San Diego Reader. And he asks a lot of questions based on hipsterdom. I couldn't find an about me to figure out exactly, like, what his philosophy is. Because obviously, calling yourself a hipster in the late 2010s up to 2025... as he's still doing this, it's like, I don't know. Is he like conceptualizing himself as what type of hipster? Is this like, to him, what does it mean? I'm not 100% sure, but...
Are you saying that you can't even tell what the irony of the column about irony is?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what level we're working on. Does this person consider themselves like espresso, perfect espresso pouring?
Oh, I thought you meant Sabrina Carpenter. Does he consider himself espresso?
A perfect espresso, poor beanie, and flannel guy? IPA. Like, yeah, I don't even know where he's coming from, or is he kind of mocking hipster? No, I don't know. Yeah, we'll just jump right into the question. Like I said, it's for the San Diego Reader. Dear hipster, my daughter laughed at me when I said I didn't like to watch curling because everyone else seemed to be into it. Whenever it's on TV, the announcers always have to explain the rules and strategy to newcomers who don't actually know how curling works. My daughter said I was a hipster. I had never heard this term before, so that doesn't make me hipster, right? P.S. She hangs out at Target, and I've heard this qualifies as well. What are the rules for when people just throw the term out arbitrarily?
2019. Wait, my daughter laughed at me when I said I didn't like to watch curling because everyone else seemed to be into it? So everyone's into curling but him? I thought that it was the opposite.
You know how, like, whenever the Olympics comes around, it's usually curling and fencing? It's like people will be like, oh, I never watch those sports, but for the Olympics, I get really into it.
Oh, okay.
And I think maybe this was a Winter Olympics year, or it was coming up.
Okay, then that is the most hipster thing you could have said, yeah.
I don't care for this whole people like curling thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty hipster, yeah.
Yeah.
Almost definitionally. Hanging out at Target, I think that's just being a teenager and not having a lot of places to hang out. I don't know if that's...
How I read that was him saying, I think the word hipster doesn't mean anything. So I'm accusing her of being a hipster for hanging out at Target. If she's accusing me, if she's accusing me of being a hipster for not liking curling, she's a hipster.
Fuck you.
Beefing with your daughter is very funny.
Interesting. What made you interested about curling?
I'm not really interested in curling.
I had an old manager who used to do it. He used to drive up to Charlotte to do curling recreationally.
Oh, there's a like ice skating rink where they let you, where they had it set up.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't seem like that hard of a sport to understand, though. I don't know what this whole thing about having to explain the rules is. Like, maybe that's all Olympics, actually.
Maybe about, like, what the... Because it's not
sweepers
like the table...
Doing?
Yeah, the sweepers. Because I was going to say, it's not like tabletop curling. There's roles and rules, I guess.
Yeah.
I like tabletop curling at a bar with the, like, sand and the little pucks.
Do you mean shuffleboard?
Shuffleboard.
Shuffleboard. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Slightly different.
I can relate to this guy. When something seems... Because it's almost like he's having a backlash to other people's... People who don't really like curling, but are just stepping their foot into the world because it's a thing right now to say I like it.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about not being annoyed by having to watch it on TV when they're trying to make it accessible for beginners is kind of like me watching the World Cup or like the Champions League with people. So I get that part. I've complained about that before.
Yeah, but this isn't a guy who loves curling and he's annoyed at others for...
I thought he did. I thought that was the point of it.
I thought this guy just didn't like it.
No, I thought the whole thing was he likes it, but he doesn't like it when everyone gets into it. Because otherwise, if he just doesn't like something because everyone... Well, I guess that was also pretty hipster, too. This is poorly written.
It was weird because to me, the whole thing about the TV announcers, I thought was just like a weird flippant statement, but you're reading it as he's saying that that's what annoys him.
Yeah, like I like watching like year-round curling where they know that everyone's into it and like they don't have, they get to explain the actual strategy and like the characters that are at play.
I read it as him saying, this is my proof that nobody actually like is that into it.
Oh, yeah, I guess I could see that.
Sounds like an old man who's upset his daughter clocked him.
I had never heard this term before, so that doesn't make me a hipster, right? That's not part of the qualifications.
Oh, you see, to me, that was sarcasm, along with the Target thing, like, ugh, who even knows or cares what a hipster is?
This is why you don't have kids.
They'll eventually betray you.
Mm-hmm. They'll call you Chugy next.
Oh, no.
Do you think he wrote in an additional column when he got called Chugy?
This time he's like, I actually don't know what that means.
I don't know what these minions are.
This guy wrote in to ask a hipster. There's no way the I don't know what a hipster is thing is.
Or search engine optimization.
He googled what is a hipster, found this column, and was I need help.
You're my only hope.
Imagine learning what a hipster was in 2019, a decade after the word had become irrelevant.
That's a charmed life. I don't think I've ever seen a lot of people really get into curling.
You don't feel like that happens during the Olympics? I feel like I know this phenomena of people who don't really care about sports being like, but during the Olympics, I do.
Yeah, but you've got an Olympics GF now, right? So you kind of are always like engaged with the Olympics.
That makes the fencing a lot more interesting, is her explaining everything to me. Uh-huh. She doesn't seem exasperated at all that I show interest, but...
Yeah, but her and I are different. So kill your daughter?
Kill your daughter.
Mm-hmm. For the greatest sin of making you seem uncool?
You brought her into this world.
I've heard that a couple times.
You set in motion the chain of events that brought her into this world. You can take her out of this world.
Mm-hmm. I mostly heard that from my neighbor's dad, who didn't bring me into the world.
Wait, did he really say that to you? That's so funny.
No, he would yell it at his kids, though. It's not obviously something my parents would say to me. And then you haven't had the, like, birds and bees talk yet, so he's like, I can explain at some point, but not now.
Nah, Dad, you didn't bring us into this world. We know it was a stork. We're a good Christian family.
Yeah. Is that good Christian values, the stork?
I don't know. It kind of feels like it, right? It's like what you tell kids because you're too scared of sex to tell them about it.
That sounds like something Christian. My like Baptist preacher would have been like, that's pagan shit. We don't tell our kids about that.
Well, American Christianity is so weird. Half the stuff is just like ad hoc beliefs. This is why you need a centralized power structure and why the Catholic Church is
superior. Are you making a Catholicism play right now? Yeah, that's true.
Oh, another irony thing we didn't delve into at all. These young hipster trad Catholics, do they really believe in God? What's going on there? One of the big questions people tackle in life, like, does God exist or not? It's the question of existence. It's one of the most fundamental questions about humanity there can be. They're just a group of people nowadays who are like a little playful and silly with it. They're like, I believe in it very strongly, but also kind of in an ironic way, and I'm not going to let you know at what level.
You seems like you have more experience with this than I do. There are Catholic trad wives who are being unserious about it?
Trad Cath. So it's people
trad
who can...
Cath.
Yeah. So it's people who convert to Catholicism, but then they... I mean, I guess technically a trad Cath is somebody who doesn't believe in Vatican II, which was like the Vatican reform to like more modern liberal.
Oh, so the cuckification
existence
the wokeification
in like the 1950s. Exactly. Yeah, that's basically what it is.
Oh, okay. That's
in
cool.
Like the 1950s. So it was like you could do mass in the language of the country you were in. Mass didn't have to be in Latin anymore. And so there's these young Catholic converts who are like,
let's go back to the good old
very
days.
Internet-y, and they convert to Catholicism, but they immediately go to, I don't even believe in the modern Catholicism. The church was cuckified in the 1950s. I believe in traditional Catholicism.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Mind-boggling to just for religion, something that feels like such a fundamental struggle for so many people in this world, God and our existence, to just turn it into this weird internet brain. I don't even know if you believe it. I think you're just kind of saying it to be controversial and edgy. I don't even know what's going on with your beliefs.
And that's going to be the sequel to Heretic 2, is you trapping a bunch of trad cats.
There's probably a good horror movie to be made with a trad cat narrative. That's a charmed existence. You're like this guy who doesn't
Brother,
know what hipsters are in 2019.
I don't even know what regular Catholicism is. All right. Anything else before we read the answer?
No. Yeah, I can jump into it. I discern two distinct inquiries. One, is it hipster to not watch curling because of the tendency for non-Canadians to jump onto the curling bandwagon every winter? Two, are there any consequences for misusing the term hipster? In order to respond to the first point, stay with me for a bit while I sketch out a rough timeline of modern curling from the hipster perspective. 1998. Curling returns to Winter Olympics after a long hiatus. Hipsters pay no heed, focusing instead on hating popular Olympians and mainstream sports, particularly figure skating and snowboarding. 1999 through 2009. Canadians enjoy curling in relative peace. For unknown reasons, hipsters' awareness quietly builds in anticipation of the 2010 Olympics. First recorded instances of drunken hipster curling contests staged in frozen alleyways across the country. Hipsters enjoy opportunity to claim solidarity with gentle northern neighbors, i.e. Canadians. Canadians remain ambivalent about American hipsters. 2010. First Olympics where hipsters take serious notice of curling. Hipsters declare allegiance to Team Canada, often stretching the truth with claims of having been into curling since the 90s. First semi-official hipster curling leagues appear in Midwestern hipster hubs, Madison, Wisconsin, Minneapolis, St. Paul, etc. Within 6 weeks, hipster curling leagues sprout up in snowless localities where inventive hipsters bend the rules.
Shout out Charlotte.
2013, peak hipster curling fandom. 2014, ironic hipster curling fandom spills over into genuine appreciation of the sport. Hipsters speak knowledgeably about curling during the 2014 Winter Olympics. Impressed by savvy hipsters, mainstream everyone else starts piling on. Suburban moms post avidly on Facebook about favorite curlers. Too many dank curling memes to count.
Damn, who's your favorite curler, Paul?
Ivan Hosenbottom.
Oh, nice.
2018.
Kind of a standard pick.
What?
Kind of a standard pick, but okay.
Oh, who's the earth? Probably like Felix Alexov?
Jan Schwenkmeyer.
Mickey Mouse rings. That's all I'll say. 2018. Hipsters mostly over it. Too many people annoyingly obsessed with serious-faced Korean curler Kim Ong-jong and her Pokemon socks. As you can see, the hipster curling relationship has come full circle in the past decade. Your current stance on curling is very hipster, provided you used to be into it, but now you're not. If you're not feeling the curl on account of pure contrarianism, that might be even more hipster, but I'm honestly not sure. Fortunately, arbitrary use of the term hipster is not punishable under either the California Unwritten Hipster Code or the Federal Hipness in Trending Act, two laws you've probably never heard of before. If someone misuses the term, real hipsters take no offense because they know better. And non-hipsters don't know anything is wrong because they don't know better. In either case, nobody harmed, no harm, no foul.
All right.
He said, your daughter doesn't even matter, dude. She's not a real hipster, so she can't even tell you if you're being a hipster or not.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think his timeline's accurate? Do you think he actually knows about or did the research on curling history?
Maybe. I mean, I guess he was alive for it and he considers himself a hipster expert. To me, it felt very made up. There was something about it that just read as somebody being like, yeah, I'll just pretend that curling has been in my mind space for a long time and I've been tracking how people enjoy it.
2010 was peak hipster enjoyment.
It just seems like to have this timeline laid out, you would have had to really have been paying attention to other people's enjoyment of curling for such a long time and clocking when and how it came.
Also, the fact that most of these land on even years when the Olympics happened, but for some reason, peak enjoyment of it is in 2013. We're like, what was going on that year? But you can definitely show this to your daughter and shut her up.
I really want to know more about DJ Stevens. Like, the interesting part of this is not his answers to me. It's like, I want to know how he perceives himself and at what level of irony this article is on, because I can't tell.
I can't really either. I'm not going to lie. It could be anything.
And I think he would be proud of that. I felt like from reading that, that would be his goal.
I mean, his avatar, when you click on his name, is a guy with a coif haircut, sunglasses, a deep V, tight jeans, and a little cup of espresso, and Converse high tops.
Yeah.
Which, again, could just be building the mystery, building the facade.
It's kind of what I was talking about at the beginning. It's like you see these people online, and you're like, it feels like they're making fun of themselves, but it also feels like they love themselves so much, and I don't know what I'm supposed to read from this.
I mean, I'm just looking at his catalog, and there's In the Airplane Over the Sea and Joy Division within the first four articles. I don't know. I don't know what to think about this guy. He's broken my brain. At least I know what Sophia Benoit believes.
That's
I know
true.
What she's standing on business. And it's about fuckboys.
Yeah, the sincerity lovers take another win. What can I say?
Yeah. I mean, that answered the question better than we could, though.
Yeah. He had a real specific timeline of curling and its popularity with hipsters.
Cool. All right, you want to do the third segment?
Let's do it.
All right. So we did get a little bit of feedback that people don't mind hearing Paul and Adrian's takes, their hot takes, their spicy views on old trends, what our perception of them was, whether or not they flew right by us. And so we're going to do that this time, but specifically for 22 fashion trends that were once super cringy that are now completely mainstream and on trend. So kind of sticking with the irony, kind of sticking with the hipster stuff. So yeah, this is a BuzzFeed article.
And I think it'll be like the TikTok one where we'll probably have ideas about some of them. And for some of them, I imagine us going, maybe I vaguely remember that, but I don't.
Yeah, yeah.
Starting with number one, colorful hair. It was so incredibly rare to see when I grew up in the late 90s, early 00s. And when people did have it, it was very alt people. Now it's everywhere on everyone.
Was that a joke for you saying 00s or is that?
2000s?
Yeah.
Okay. Aughts? Aughts? I'm British now.
Yeah. I've heard you say that before. I don't know. The early nils? Early nils?
I admit it was weird that I said 00s. I was just reading, you know? Sometimes you don't parse
from
it.
From Liverpool.
Honestly, my perception of colorful hair is, yes, it was exceedingly uncommon, and it did become more common. I felt like the big transition for me was...
We lived in South Carolina and were kids for most of the 90s.
True. But my perception was always that it was, like, social justice and Tumblr coded.
Oh, the kind of people you went online to destroy.
Yeah. And then now it's like anybody. Like if I see somebody with like pink hair now, I'm like, that could be a MAGA person. You know, it's just, it's really broadened into just everybody culture. Same way with like tattoos used to be like such a sign of like they're off the grid. They're living like
a different
sort of lifestyle.
This person's a sailor who was off at sea for many years.
Either that or like a criminal or somebody who really doesn't give a shit what people think about them. Like this
person doesn't want a 9-to-5 and he doesn't need it.
Yeah, and now it's just like every IT worker has tattoos. It's just an everybody thing. There's no information you can glean from the fact somebody has tattoos or doesn't.
But does that make it on trend?
But yeah, it's all right. I think a lot of people look good with colorful hair.
I don't know if it's on trend though. I think I see a lot of younger kids with it, with the ombres and stuff. Maybe, yeah, I guess I would call it trendy now.
It's not a fad. It's just been on trend for the last decades. Yeah.
I don't think anyone's losing a job interview because they have colored hair anymore.
No, I don't think so either.
When am I going back to colored hair, Paul? When are we doing that? When is Tin moving back in with me?
Yeah,
then? Yeah.
I was gonna
say, give me free blowjobs.
Well,
blowjobs, bleach jobs. You blow hair. You can see where my mind went.
I mean, you have to pay for the blowjob. Those weren't free.
Half price on Tuesdays. All right, number two.
Mm-hmm.
Buying used clothing from thrift or consignment stores. See, we were slightly in that era where it was embarrassing to thrift. Because it was seen as a poor thing? Was that a common TV trope? Is a rich girl at school realizing that a poor girl at school thrifted one of her old pieces of clothing?
Oh, I don't know if it was a full-on trope, but I feel like I have seen that.
Yeah. I was always worried about that.
Oh, you thrifted as a kid?
Yeah, that was one of those things where when my brother was old enough to drive, he would take me and Dorley to go thrifting, and Dorley, when she was old enough to drive, we would go out to thrifts. Stores.
But by the time Dorley was old enough to drive, Macklemore had released
it was before that.
So,
yeah, it was before that. That's why we were like, hey, now everyone's getting into it, even though we've been doing it for years. Now everybody's going to Irmo to go to the big Goodwill and then go to Popeyes.
I don't think anybody's thrifting ironically, though. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if this is I think this is just kind of like the colored hair. It's like something that grew in popularity. There's no, like, fad element to it.
Yeah, I more or less agree.
But I guess that does fit with the article. It was cringy, now it's mainstream. Also, I feel like part of the impetus was that it became cool, yes, because of like things like Macklemore and people being...
Now it's like eco-friendly and stuff.
Yeah, I was gonna... Well, also, it's just that clothes got worse, I think. Like, with fast fashion getting so big, now if you can go find something more expensive that's good quality... That's going to be a better thing to wear. Like, that's a nicer item of clothing than if you bought something new from H&M. You know what I mean? So it's just like...
Shout out to Riley talking about H&M being like, you walk out of the store and the shirt's already dissolved into thin air.
Yeah. So it kind of changed. Like, it used to be if you went and bought something from a regular store, you were getting like a nicer, newer thing. Now it feels not like that.
Yeah, I get a lot of comments about whenever I buy workwear, usually the cashier is like, oh, this shit's really well made or whatever. This is going to last you a while.
Oh, nice. I don't know if I've ever had a thrift store cashier say anything to me.
It was more of a upscale thrift, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, like a consignment.
Yeah.
Logos on everything. It was cool for a minute in the Hollister Air Apostle days, but then it went out. Now it's back with Supreme, Gucci, etc.
I agree with the take on this one when they said, thank God it went out. Because the reason that I got a Gap credit card when I was younger and the reason I shopped there explicitly was because I would go to Ross or Marshall and I'd be like, all of the flannels are so complicated, I just want like red and black solid checkerboard, and the Gap had that. But then they also had those stupid hoodies where it was like a sweatshirt hoodie that said Gap on it, and it was like, in what world do I want that? Like, I don't, what world is this what I need to represent? Just make it plain. That's all I want.
Yeah, Hollister was especially like, I don't know, by the time we were in high school, that was so corny looking, like to have something with Hollister on the front.
And then, yeah, I guess with the Supreme and Gucci stuff, I don't know if I see that much of that anymore. Honestly, I think I see a lot more, plain clothes. Yeah, I don't know.
But I will say that this does kind of have an irony tinge to it. I feel like some of the people wearing this stuff know that it is a little bit of a, like, a play on, I kind of thought this looked ugly and now it's like kitschy to wear something so branded.
All right. Well, now we got pants that stop at the ankle. When I was younger, if your pants didn't drag on the floor and get caught under the wheel of your van/Converse, you were doing it wrong.
Yeah, I mean, this is cyclical. This just goes back and forth constantly.
Yeah. Shorter pants. I like it. I dig it. But, you know.
Yeah. Oh, the next one is one that I'm aware of. I feel like I clocked this one as we grew up, and I think it's gone again in a weird way. Thick eyebrows. I was beat up for it once. Now they're so popular.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
No one should get beat up for their eyebrows. And it's a picture of Zendaya, who has thick eyebrows, or are those considered normal? Or
those look thick to me.
Slightly bushy? Is that the thing where people get eyebrows threaded? They do that to like thin them out or whatever?
Yeah, but I think when you get them threaded, you don't necessarily have to make them thin. It can be just to get loose ones. Like, you can tell hers are really crisp. Like, she's definitely gotten the loose ones. Yeah, look at how crisp those eyebrows are. There isn't a single hair out of...
That's a crisp-ass eyebrow line.
There isn't a single hair out of the shape.
Yeah. You have very thin eyebrows now that I'm looking at you. Have you thought about shaving them and drawing them on instead? Shout out to my dad who once, in an accident, actually he burned off one of his eyebrows off of his face. And so he decided to shave off the other one so they could grow back together. And it is insane how weird people look without eyebrows. It is like instantly makes you look like an alien.
You're like, no hugs, Papa. You look
scary.
Yeah,
I was like, not for now. Let's wait till those eyebrows grow back. But I don't know if I have a strong opinion about eyebrows either way. I guess sometimes when they're, unibrows, sometimes people have strong opinions about, but I haven't heard about that in forever. All right. Definitely Crocs. You used to get made fun of in school for wearing Crocs. They were known to be ugly, wear around the house, but not in public shoes. I suddenly started seeing a bunch of students wearing them, and I was like, what the? Now they have those little charms and everything. I think they're cute on kids, but I just can't wrap my head around them enough to buy a pair.
You know, I saw an article on the FT like last week or a couple weeks ago that was like about the Crocs company struggling because the ugly shoe craze is ending. And they said it like it was a thing we all knew about, like as ugly shoe craze comes to an end. I was like, was this LaBooBoo and I just didn't realize? I thought people liked Crocs. I didn't realize they all knew they looked stupid.
I'll say this, as someone whose brother is a big Crocs fan and specifically seems to like ugly Crocs, I think that is a thing. I think that is very much a part of, that was a driving force in culture.
Now that the ugly Crocs, now that the ugly shoe trend is coming to an end.
He's not allowed to wear them at his new job, but he still ordered a new pair of Powerpuff Girl Crocs. So yeah, I think he's still digging them. I don't mind them. I actually don't think I've ever thought of them as being exceptionally comfortable, but I have a pair, but they don't have the holes in them.
I've never had a pair, but yeah. They always looked a little stupid to me.
I always thought they were nurse and doctor shoes. That's what I always associated with. Because they're technically compliant with whatever traction thing you need for that.
Oh, number 9 was one that got me. This was I always clocked it as like such a funny thing in our culture. Champion sports gear. It used to be a cheap Kmart Walmart brand that you had to buy when you came from no money. All of a sudden, it's $50 for some warm-up pants or $65 for a huge logo-branded hoodie.
Okay, for anyone who actually opened up the article, I'm not going to lie, this does look pretty cool. Normally, I do hate it, but this specific outfit looks kind of cool.
Oh, I like Champion. I think that something the logo is just not stand out enough that it kind of works for me.
It's too much.
Too much?
Yeah, and the C on the pants, I don't like that either.
When it was an expensive brand, that really was one of those old man moments. One of my first old man moments in college where I was like, this stuff used to be at Walmart.
I can't be a champion anymore. I can't afford it. Christmas sweaters. Yeah, I don't know. I've seen like different bands in other places do merch of like ugly Christmas sweaters, or I think it's still a thing in the years past that people have done like ugly sweater parties.
Yeah, that always cracked me up. My parents got invited to one and they were like asking me about it and I had to explain to them that's like, oh yeah, you have to buy like a purposefully ugly one.
And did that not compute for them, or what did they think?
They thought it was odd, but I think they're just, they're like, whatever, we'll go along with it.
And they bought the same sweaters that they had seen their coworkers wearing throughout the year?
I think...
Meow.
I think they actually just wore, like, pretty generic sweaters. I don't think they wanted to go buy a purposefully funky sweater for the event.
Yeah, no, I get that.
But yeah, did you have any feelings about it? Like, I mean... They're around. Sometimes you see a funny one in a thrift store and you're like, oh, yeah, this person either made this ironically or this is a really old sweater.
Yeah, sometimes they get into gross perverted territory. But the other one is, like I said, like sometimes bands will ironically have a ugly sweater thing. And it's like, I don't know who's that's for.
Yeah, you can only wear it for like crossover a few ones where it's like Rick and Morty ugly Christmas sweater or something.
Yeah, yeah. Where it's like Rick being like, wubba lubba dubba, eat my shorts.
Flannels. They were cool in the 90s during the grunge era, but when I was in high school in the mid-2000s, people would say, OMG, are you a lumberjack? I think you hung out with some bullies. I feel like a flannel was always, that's like a white tee or something. I feel like that always could fly under the radar as just like a basic
pick.
Yeah.
No, I definitely got that exact comment when I bought one my freshman year of high school from Maria. Is that what her name was? She was one of the cool girls at our school. Wait, no, she wasn't the one that made fun of me. She was the one that asked me where I got it because she was also looking for one. It was my mom who didn't like it.
Oh. Oh, my mom was the cool, one who popular girl liked it.
Yeah. She asked me where I got it from. And then my mom was the one who, when I bought it, she was like, you look like a lumberjack. And it was a blue and black flannel, which is not what lumberjacks wear. Which is, I think I had that like a few times where I would make fashion choices as a high schooler. My parents would just voice the fact that they didn't enjoy it, but they were happy to let me do whatever I wanted to do. When I bought a purple sweater once from Banana Republic, my dad was like, I don't like it. All right, next we got mom jeans. High-waisted, acid wash, or light wash, bulky at the bottom, loose fit jeans. As opposed to the skinny jean trend. How do you feel about this?
Oh, I like them. I think a light...
Yeah.
I'm not... The cut is whatever, take it or leave it, but the light wash, I thought, was a nice introduction.
Yeah, I was always more into like a deeper denim color, but they're not bad.
And I think the way people styled them was very different than the joke about how they look on older women, because it's like people weren't wearing them with the same like tucked in sweater look.
Yeah. I'll say this about the mom jeans. Oftentimes, if you got a good booty, shows it off.
Adrian said, those mom jeans, you might as well be Dexter's mom. Dang.
Sheesh.
Freckles. Apparently, I used to be teased in school because I have a ton of freckles. And a few years ago, they became so trendy that the same people who made fun of me started drawing on fake freckles. Okay, a lot of this seems to be bitterness about being bullied.
A lot of it is, yeah.
Was there anything the picture... you were bullied for that became cool?
Diabetes. And having a lisp. Was there anything I got? I got bullied for having long hair in eighth grade, but I don't think that's cool now. I think that's just whatever now.
Mm-hmm.
What else did I get bullied for fashion wise? No, yeah, I can't think of anything.
And I was always really cool, so.
And the picture for this one is Lindsay Lohan, who was always thought of as being cute for having the freckles, right? But this is a weird thing because I don't consider it fashion, and I didn't know that people draw them on. This is a whole new world for me. I didn't know about any of this.
Yeah, I think I've seen that, I don't know how common it is, or if it's just, like, one of those things where people do, like, looks that have freckles, but I don't know if that's just for the, like, stunted on YouTube of, like, look at how good I am on my makeup, I can change my face, versus, like, if people are wearing this out daily, it's fake freckles.
What's the idea behind it? It's, like, freckles of melanin due to genetic things, or it's, like, what is it?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. Interesting. I don't know if I have a strong opinion about it either way.
It's crazy that with other animals, it's like sometimes you can have a spotted cat. And I didn't really think of that as a thing with humans, but I guess we do have spotted humans.
And you think of them as lesser.
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, okay. Sorry. That was the vibe I was getting from you. Okay, man. Hey. Oh, you know, I talked about this with a professor a few years ago. Middle parts. When I was in middle school, it was not cool to have a middle part. This was a Gen Z thing when I was, like, a few years ago, where I can't do a middle part because it makes me look like Kim Jong-un. How do you feel about the middle part?
Well, I can't do it because I don't have hair, but I think it looks good
on some
people.
You never do a shoulder middle part? I think the person I think of is, this person kind of looks like Millie Bobby Brown, which I think is one of the people I think of as having a middle part.
I do. That is kind of my... I mean, I guess Millie Bobby Brown's a little young to put in this category, but like, you know, like sharp British women, like business, like it's like a very, like I'm about my business sort of look.
Yeah, because before, what was it? The Rachel was the big thing? Is that what it's juxtaposing?
Oh, I assumed the one that covers your forehead the most, bangs.
Oh, the bangs. Okay. Yeah. That kind of thing. So
you're
kind of
going the opposite direction. I'm letting you see all the forehead.
And that's power.
I got nothing to hide up there.
Yeah. Your reflection in the forehead shows you who the real villain is.
Okay, chokers. Yeah, I feel like these have had... This one has like a fad-like appearance every couple of years, it feels like. I feel like chokers were in for a while we were in college. Were a little bit less relevant, and then you kind of see them again. I don't know if I'm just... Maybe I'm wrong about what years they were popular, but it feels like it comes in and out.
Shout out to the girl in high school that I knew that was really into anime who used to wear a choker with a cat bell on it.
We all knew her. Everybody called her Anime Girl.
Yeah.
Man, high school is such a dehumanizing time.
Yeah. Would you believe it if I told you that she told a story once about how the first guy she dated came out as gay later?
I would believe that. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. I remember even in class just hearing that and going like, yeah, that checks out. I guess people don't do that joke anymore, but when the Spider-Man movie came out where they're talking about canon events or whatever, it's like, yeah, that's a canonical event for her life.
Talk about how fast culture moves. That was a meme.
Yeah, Dora Lee was having fun with that one. I think my favorite one that she sent me was like, mentally ill person deciding to go into psychology as their major in undergrad. Stop, this is a canon event.
That one is so true. How do we all know that person?
Yeah, I know, right? Oh, did you have any other opinions about jokers? I feel like I couldn't. I got a fat neck. I don't think I could pull it off. Finally, wearing oversized clothes. Okay, this one is big. This one's one that I've railed against on this podcast, so you're gonna have to give your opinion on it, because everyone knows mine.
Oh, I think it can look good sometimes. You can't go too oversized. It has to be, like, slightly overfitted. If you go too oversized, it looks like you're a runway model doing, like, a really, like, abstract look. It's just too much of a thing.
Do you ever have strong opinions about the girls where you can't tell if they're wearing shorts or not? You never had those sorority girls where, like, their shirts were so long and oversized, you're like, are they wearing shorts or, like, what is it? Are they just wearing a sleep shirt?
I thought you meant it was a weird in-between length, and you were like, is that pants or shorts? I thought you were angry. You mean,
like, I thought it was, like, a romper?
I thought you weren't sure if it was, like, it's like, that stops right in the middle of your knees. I'm not sure if that's
like a capri. No, that's a whole other thing.
Or long shorts. I do know what you're talking about, the big sorority tees. I feel like that's different than the modern oversized clothes movement. That was
tea. The modern thing is like the pants and stuff where I can't figure it out. I
don't look good in it. I think some people do, though.
Some people definitely do, yeah.
You got to toe that line. You got to go up to the line. You go a little too big and it looks like you're doing a runway model thing where it's like, that's not clothes anymore. That's like some weird art piece.
And you don't want people to be stunned like that on you.
They can. It just definitely stops looking cool and starts looking odd. I remember when Billie Eilish was, you know, kind of wearing the oversized clothes, a lot of people were like, oh, if you think this looks bad, actually it's because she's underage and she doesn't want people looking at her body, so she wears oversized
clothes. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting how that plays into it. Like, I don't know how much that was, like, a motivating factor for most people in the trend, but I guess there are some things other than just pure aesthetics at play. Like, there are some.
Yeah, we've talked about the Puritans before. Maybe that goes hand in hand.
Yeah, there are, like, cultural forces about how we feel that are also playing into these things.
And it is good how well that worked to make sure that no one ran a countdown clock for her turning 18.
I don't think people do that anymore, right? We've moved past that.
I think people did.
Oh, you were being sarcastic. You were doing an irony. People did run a countdown clock.
Yeah, that was verbal irony.
That's so 2000.
Oh, they probably had one for you.
Well, I mean, come on. I was upset that nobody had one, so I made it and put it online.
You were running it under a pseudonym?
I was like Spider-Man at the newspaper where they're like, how does this site get so many great pictures of Paul?
In such compromising situations. I mean, I'm generally okay with it, and I definitely do some oversizing every now and then, but it's not my favorite. It's okay.
Yeah, that's all right.
I do like it for soccer jerseys. Soccer jerseys do need to be oversized because they're always undersized in a very annoying way.
Oh, because they're European.
Yeah.
This article it really concentrated on clothes, so
And freckles. Yeah.
It wasn't like Tamagotchis, you know, where it's like when somebody has a Tamagotchi now where I'm like, that's a little ironic, right? You're not like enjoying the game. Like, it's a choice to be a Tamagotchi person right now.
Mm-hmm. Whereas before you were born a Tamagotchi person, you died a Tamagotchi person.
I think if you liked it in the 2000s, it's because it was the best video game we had. We were like, this is incredible.
It's true.
It was the best mobile game on the market. Yeah, big fact. Try your hardest to be sincere. Irony is a trap. But also obsessing over if other people are ironic or sincere enough or hipster or whatever is another type of trap. And let people do them too. You don't need to you don't need to be the watchdog. No police around here.
ACAB.
Nobody has to be a watchdog for other people's enjoyment. Even though I kind of was doing that throughout this episode. So, you know, learn from my mistakes.
Enjoy watching.
Yeah.
And my no-cap is, if you have a serious thing to talk about with your partner, spring it on them and say, can I ask you a question?
and then talk to them about, you know, problematic things you've done in the past. All right.